Hello, New Covenant and friends far and near. This is Ron Simpkins with you today. It's my privilege to be so. The theme for teaching today is living with God so that we can better live for God. Scripture on the front of the bulletin at the service at New Covenant today on Sunday will be, I have asked one thing from the Lord. It's all that I seek, to live in the Lord's house all the days of my life. And I've asked myself, is that really what I want more than anything else? Is that the priority in life? Should it be? Could it be? It's from Psalm 27:4. I owe my focus on this theme to my daughter Karen and my son-in-law Theo. They often mentor me here in my older age on my spiritual journey. And they were the source of focusing on living with God so that I can live more for God. It's a teaching topic and a behavior that I actually find difficult. The with being more a priority than the for. Let me illustrate. I think I find it more difficult to focus on being rather than on doing. I would have never thought of myself as an activist. I've always compared myself to the, quote, real activists who get out there and do a lot of things, and I kind of have a tendency to focus on ideas and wanting to understand. But I'm facing that there are many ways in which I do tend to be an activist, and not always for the good. An activist as opposed to being really focused on relational way of relating to God. Examples, you know, I've been really working at trying to be more prayerful every day. It's important, and I've grown some. But I find that even when I'm trying to pray, it's easier to start thinking, well, I should text, or I should do this, or I should text somebody. That's much easier than praying for me. Or I start wondering about my day, and, but not my day in God's presence, just my day. Or even as I'm preparing a teaching, it's awfully easy to get the theme and the ideas and then kind of think, I can take it from here rather than how do I do this today, right now with you in God's presence. One of my daily prayer goals is, Jesus, help me relate to God as you did, as your Abba. It's very difficult for me to stay focused there on that kind of relationship and let that be what informs my day. Well, I could go on and on. I think God's really trying to say to me something that my wife Donna often tried to get through my head and heart as well. Donna tried to teach me, be with me. Don't just jump to doing for me, which of course often really turned out to be me wanting to do something because I was uncomfortable not knowing what to do next. Donna wanted to be with me and for me to be with her. She was good at it. And she encouraged me to learn not to jump to solving problems that I can't solve, just to be with her because she wanted to be with me. And she was amazingly at peace with just being together, even when it didn't seem like we were doing anything, quote. But as God seems to be trying to get through to me, isn't being together doing something really rare and real and extremely important? In fact, more important than anything else? Aren't relationships a real foundation of everything else that matters in life? With God, with one another. So being with. As I said, I find it important to teach about areas I'm weak in, but I also find it very important to admit that I'm weak in them. So in that light, I want to focus on five scriptural passages, just briefly each of them. Each of them focuses on a different aspect of the importance of learning to live with God, so that we can live for God more effectively. I want to encourage myself to keep growing in that, take it seriously. I hope that it encourages you as well. Genesis 28, verse 16, 17. God's present even when we're pretty oblivious to that. It reads, "Then Jacob woke from his sleep and said, 'Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it.' And he was afraid, and he said, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, the gate of heaven.'" Last week in her teaching, Renee reminded us about God's surprising presence with Jacob as he actually was running from home, running from his own sins and sins of his mother and father and brother, as she reminded us. He lay down out there on a rock in the middle of nowhere and had a vision of angels descending and ascending from heaven, and realized in a place that he never dreamed God would be, could be, wanted to be present, that God was there in his mixed up life in a faraway place. Jacob responds to this appropriately. He's scared, he's comforted, and he's awed that God can be present in a place like this, in a situation like this. You know, God's presence all the time, everywhere, anywhere. That seems scary to me too sometimes. And you? No matter what I'm doing, wherever I am, what I'm thinking. And as Jacob said, very comforting. Wow, God's here. And as Jacob also said, awesome. That any place can be God's house and a gateway to the heavens. And you know, this passage occurs in a passage that really is an example of the theme that I'm trying to wrestle with myself. It's an example of what happens when we can try to live for God, but not with God. That was especially true in this situation with Jacob's mother, Rebekah. She had a prophecy that Jacob was to be the special covenant blessed one. There were, you know, both sons to be blessed, but he was to be the one that was to carry on the covenant from Abraham. That prophecy was from God. But then she took it into her own hands and tried to make it happen her own way. And in many ways, it didn't turn out so well. In fact, she never even got to see her son again. She died before he got back home. But it's an example of what can happen when we try to live for God and God's direction and goals, but not with God. Second passage, very familiar one to most of us, Psalm 23. It's a shepherd imagery. You know, in the ancient world, sheep were out there in the fields and they couldn't really be left alone. Some shepherd at least had to always be with them. And the psalm is emphasizing that God is always with us, always present. But it's emphasizing, as it starts out, "The Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want," that this takes place in a world that, yes, is filled both with provision, but also with lots of hostility and a lot of dangerous realities. "So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord makes me lie down in green pastures. The Lord leads me beside still waters." You know, to follow out our sheep metaphor, what else do you need beside lush green pastures and a pools of good water? That sheep's heaven. The psalmist is emphasizing that God wants to meet our basic needs for life, that we need to be thankful, not take them for granted. You know, I've been trying to get back to, you know, for various reasons, some of them good, but I kind of got away from me praying for every meal and being thankful for every meal, and I'm trying to get back to doing that much more consistently. And for all the other basics of life, even, you know, car, home, friends, family, warmth, coolness, all kinds of things, just to be more aware that basic needs are being met and I shouldn't take them for granted. I invite you to do the same if you're not already. It makes a difference. It makes more room for God to be present. Psalmist continues, "The Lord restores my soul." You know, it's really true that being in God's presence refreshes life. That may take different forms for all of us. For me, it's often reminds me and it lets me experience meaning in life that wouldn't be there otherwise. Adventure and excitement is not boring because God brings it alive and living in God's presence. The psalmist continues, "The Lord leads me in right paths for the sake of the Lord's name." Well, there's no question for me. I make better decisions, better choices about how to live and what to do, what to protest against, when I remember I'm choosing and acting in the Lord's presence. I am choosing and acting with God present, not just for God. The psalmist continues, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." The psalmist is a realist. He says, yes, there are very dark, dangerous times in life. This is real. And being with God doesn't make that end. There's still very dark and dangerous times when we live in God's presence, because that's the broken world we live in. It's not what it ought to be. Current political situations can scare us and be dark and dangerous. Death can be dark and dangerous. They're real enemies. They're people really trying to hurt people we care about, hurt us. The psalmist is also a realist. It's not just that there are dark and dangerous times. The Lord is present in these situations, preparing what we need to be sustained through the dark and dangerous times. And the Lord's anointing of His Holy Spirit doesn't go away during these dark and dangerous times. The Lord anoints my head with oil. My cup overflows. Psalmist continues, "Surely, goodness and mercy shall," most of us know it as "follow me," but the Hebrew word can also rightly, and I think better, be translated, "Surely goodness and mercy shall pursue me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long." If David the shepherd wrote this, we're told that he knew and had to protect his sheep from lions and bears, thieves, all the danger to the sheep, a very real danger. But he says it isn't just bears and lions and thieves. It's also God who pursues me, God's goodness, God's mercy. I don't know about you, but I need to be pursued by God, and I need to know it. I need to know that God really wants to be present with me. I will dwell in God's presence because God pursues me all the days of my life. Next scripture about God's presence, living in God's presence. Deuteronomy 31:6. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them," the enemies. "For the Lord your God goes with you. God will never leave you nor forsake you." Don't be afraid. God is present. I think that's very important for us to hear right now. It seems like there's an awful lot of fear all around us, perhaps in each of us. And we need to really understand that those who want to dominate, to bully empires, advertisers, even news reporters, they thrive on creating fear. The problem is that if we focus on fear, we will be dominated. Fear creates the ability to be dominated by those who are trying to dominate us. So this scripture calls us to live in God's presence and not be afraid or terrified, and therefore not to be dominated by the dark side of what's going on around us. You know, among the many things it's about, Jesus' execution and then his resurrection is God's promise that God won't go away even when we feel completely forsaken, as Jesus did. He felt it, but he wasn't. God will have the last word. No power, no person can take that away. God's presence is bigger. First Corinthians 6:19-20 kind of summarizes our theme of being with God so that we can better live for God. Quote, "Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you? You have this from God. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body." As I say, that summarizes the living with God so that we can better live for God. If we choose to live in God's presence, then our bodily actions can be more empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they can honor God more fully. In other words, not do what I find it very tempting to do, which is jump to doing without first of all being in the relationship that I have with God. Finally, Romans 12:1-2. This is my own translation that I'm going to read because I want to emphasize the present tenses that are more ongoing than sometimes, you know, they're more cumbersome, but they get a point across that this is a way of life. Romans 12:1-2 emphasizes living with God in very practical ways every day. Quote, "Therefore, I'm begging you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to present your bodies as sacrifices, living, holy, and pleasing to God. This is your most reasonable way of serving God. Do not continue conforming any longer to the patterns of this present culture, but continue being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to prove by continually testing what God's will is, what's good, pleasing, and mature." Paul started out saying to his readers, "I'm begging you," and I think that's because he realizes this is not an easy thing for us to make the center of our life, to really, really work at living in God's presence with God, living with God, so that we can live for God better. And he says the way we can do that better is to present ourselves regularly to God's presence, to present ourselves as ready to be God's people. And then he warns, the default will be conforming to the culture systems. You don't have to work at that. It'll just happen. And that's true, you know, whether we're conservatives or progressives, it's true, whether what Republican or Democrat, it's true, on and on and on. The default will be to systems that are not transforming us into the image of God. But God's presence transforms us toward God's image, toward more of what's good, more of what's mature, more of what it means to be really human, really in relationship with God and with all that God wants. And Paul ended that by saying, But it'll take continual testing to learn more and more what's good and pleasing and mature. How to, in other words, live with God so that we grow in living for God in better ways. We'll make mistakes. We continually test and learn. So I hope just going through these different encouragements to live in God's presence bring us back to closing with the very same scripture from Psalm 27:4 that we began with. I have asked one thing from the Lord. It's all I seek, to live in the Lord's house or in the Lord's presence all the days of my life. And I ask myself and I ask you, is this really the one thing above all else that I want? And then I ask myself, what could be better? I can't think of anything. So let's commit or recommit ourselves to God's goal, which is living with God so that we can better live for God in our very real world that is both full of dark side, but full of wonder of God's willingness to be present with us. Pray with me our closing prayer. Lord, help me to want this one thing above all else in life, to live in your presence all the days of my life. Please help me not to forget so often that I am living with you in your presence. And thank you for forgiving me for all the times I've forgotten. Amen.